You're listening to Saving the Sierra, Grassroots Solutions for Sustaining Rural Communities. I'm Catherine Stifter.
And I'm Jessica Maria Ross. Hey, I'm going to need a jolt of caffeine to wrap my head around this next story.
Me too.
I can help you guys right here.
Hi, I'd like to get a single latte.
Okay.
Catherine, what do you want?
I'd like iced coffee.
We'll put it right here on the counter for you. Here's your iced coffee, and your latte will be right up.
Hey, Jessica, look at this.
What?
You can't even pick up a newspaper these days without reading a story about how resort development is the inevitable future for rural communities. Wall Street Journal, page one. New gentry, wealthy folks are colonizing rural America. And that's their word for it, colonizing.
I've heard some of the worst mountain sprawl in the West is along the I-70 corridor out there in Vail, Colorado, down towards Denver. And then there's Gatlinburg, Tennessee, the gateway to the Smokies. Hotels, motels, rental cabins everywhere.
When massive tourist development started here in the Martis Valley, just south of Truckee in the Sierra, people worried it would be the end of their clean air and good water.
Not to mention put more traffic on the roads and the trails.
And that out-of-towners buying vacation homes would raise housing prices so high locals couldn't even afford to live here.
Environmental groups said, that's it. Game over. We've got to stop this right now. And they sued the developers and the county. The lawsuits went on for years, and the controversy nearly ripped the community apart. It seemed like a solution was never going to happen.
But those long, drawn-out negotiations resulted in a new approach. The folks involved in the negotiations believe the deal they struck is a way forward that will benefit everyone, from local families and business owners to the folks buying their luxury homes and even the developers doing business in resort communities like Truckee.
Our first stop is a little boutique clothing store just down Main Street from the local coffee shop.
Well, hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine, how are you?
Good, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
My name is Stephanie Olivieri, and this is my store, Cabona's, here in Truckee.
Okay. Thank you.
This store has been in my family since 1918.
Okay, you can look over there a little bit.
I've grown up in the store. Actually, my mother let me come here to work when I was 9 years old. It was my first job. And I loved it.
Thanks for shopping with us.
No, you're welcome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So now I think we should go out to the Martis Valley. I'd like to take you out there and show you the special places that mean so much to me.
The way Stephanie looks and talks, she wouldn't strike you as an environmental activist.
You're going to follow me over.
She dresses in matching outfits with fur-lined hats, drives around in a big green Range Rover.
We're headed out on Highway 267 into the Martis Valley. It's covered with this new fresh snow, but all of this is sagebrush and valley. And when I was a young girl, this road was a dirt road. My brother and I would fish all day through these little fingerlets of creeks, up into the mountains, up to the beaver ponds. And the valley was covered with cattle. There wasn't a single home here except for the one rancher who lived in the valley. What's this guy doing? Gotta be kidding me. In that big a hurry? The road that runs through Martis Valley is traveled by the people who are heading to the ski resorts. On holidays, it's usually bumper to bumper. It can take you hours to get to North Star and hours to get back from skiing. So all the development that's being proposed and has been given entitlements is going to add huge amount of traffic to this road.
Stephanie's been concerned about how her hometown's been changing for a long time. 20 years ago, she helped start the Mountain Area Preservation Foundation, and she was a key player in the Martis Valley litigation.
We're going to be turning now into the wildlife reserve area of Martis Lake. The most important thing out here is if you look to the, I'll roll the window down for you. If you look due east, you see that there's nothing on those mountains. It's totally open. The animal corridors remain intact, and the habitat remains untouched. That area is slated for close to 3,000 units of resort development. And for the environmental groups who were involved in the Martis Valley litigation, it's our priority to save that area at all costs. So shall we get on our snowshoes? Beauty in every direction. I love it when the snow is falling, especially up in the high mountains, you can see it. It just takes my breath away, makes my heart pound every time I come here. Almost everyone who lives here makes a living off the resort community. And certainly my clothing business is resort oriented. Everyone's torn because they certainly need the development for their livelihood, but it's a challenge because it has changed the beauty and the natural element that we all came here to enjoy. I think what I've learned from being in business here and recognizing the need to balance business and environment is that if we do it wrong, there won't be a benefit to business or this community. We have to get it right. And in getting it right, the community will benefit. Those people who come here to experience the outdoors will benefit. And we will have a sustainable economy and environment here.
Most folks here in Truckee don't own their own businesses. They work at the ski resorts, the hospital, or the lumberyard.
They're making small-town wages in a place where affordable housing starts at $250,000 and goes up from there.
We headed over to one of Truckee's more affordable neighborhoods to talk with an ex-ski bum whose frustration with trying to find a place to live landed her in local politics.
Hi. Welcome. Ooh. This is Lulu. She's friendly. Come on. This is Dylan. Can you say hello? You being a little shy. Can you do part of the alphabet for Jessica? Remember A, B, C, D? My name is Nikki Riley, and we are sitting here in my house in Glenshire. I was living with my husband, Brendan. We kind of did the ski bum, restaurant work stuff. We were clued in by a friend that there was a house for sale in Glenshire, and maybe we would be interested in looking at it. We thought, oh my goodness, $285,000 for a less than 1,000 square foot home. This is outrageous.
In cities and suburbs, it might seem like a deal, but for young rural couples, it's steep.
We were able to scrape a down payment with help from my parents and Brendan's parents. $30,000. Who's got $30,000 at their disposal? And most people are living paycheck to paycheck. That's always been my kind of issue, is let's address what the stumbling point is for why people can't afford to buy in.
Teachers, nurses, and firefighters often can't find homes within 30 miles of their jobs in Truckee.
It took a couple of years to get involved at the community level. And then we had written some letters questioning the lack of affordable housing, the lack of impetus to get that ball rolling. Everyone's response at that time was, it doesn't pencil out. And we were like, are you kidding me? This is appalling. I mean, what kind of a community is this?
And that's when Nikki decided to get involved.
I had run for town council in order to give representation to young people and to bring awareness to the affordable housing issue that I saw as a crisis in our community. I didn't win the town council seat, but I was appointed as a planning commissioner. And so that was my entry into the political world of Truckee.
So Nikki was part of a growing group of locals who identified affordable family housing as a key community issue.
And they connected with Stephanie and the environmentalists who targeted traffic and protecting wildlife habitat.
So for the first time in this community, they combined their goals.
And what was really, I think, an amazing outcome was this collaboration and the desire not only to protect open space, but also to address the affordable housing issue.
Developers, environmental organizations, and community groups spent more than 5 years fighting it out. And they negotiated a solution that sounds pretty simple when you first hear it. They're going to make new development pay to sustain the community.
1% of the sale of every home and lot in major new developments is going into a fund forever. And that money will be spent to protect open space and restore habitat, create public transportation, and build affordable housing for the community.
This is about what the fabric of our society is going to look like in the region. And that's what planning and land use should be planning for.
That's Steve Frisch. He's president of the Sierra Business Council, which is headquartered in Truckee.
We went to Steve's freshly painted office, and he cleared a big space on his very cluttered work table for us.
We're looking at a map of the Martis Valley. It's roughly a 20 to 25,000 acre area north of Lake Tahoe.
Steve's a business guy, so he helped us do the math.
Most of the major development will take place on the west side of the valley. The anchor of that development will be the North Star at Tahoe Ski Resort, which has about 2,000 additional units. Those units are going to go probably roughly in the $2 million range. As you go down the shoulder of the mountain.
Say a luxury home sells for $2 million and the transfer fee is set at 1%. That's $20,000 a home. That means North Star could generate $40 million.
As you go down the shoulder of the mountain, the next major development area is the Martis Camp area. Housing there will be in probably the $3 million range.
So then the 653 homes at Martis Camp are good for $70 million.
Immediately next to that is Lahontan. And next to that, as you go down the valley and come closer to the developed area of the community of Truckee, are the Timlick developments and the new affordable housing site.
That 1% real estate transfer fee could add up to nearly $100 million over the next 30 years.
It's a permanent source of funding to pay for community needs. To seal the deal, one of the real estate development companies, DMB Associates, will donate a prime chunk of land near the airport and the highway where they'd plan to build a golf course and luxury homes. Instead, it'll be affordable housing.
We met Anais Kane, the chief operating officer of the company, at the housing site.
Can we walk around?
Make it around.
See, I knew that this was a hiking boot deal.
Yeah. You didn't bring your Tony Llama?
I didn't. I should have. I should have known better.
I always loved the smell up here.
You don't normally think about being able to locate workforce housing or affordable housing in a beautiful pine tree location like this. But that's our opportunity here, which is really exciting. And so as you're looking along, you can see we're not very far from Highway 267. You can look through the trees that way at the backside of North Star. Lahontan that we passed, the existing project, is right there. Martis Camp is really between us and North Star from this location. And Truckee, as you see where the highway goes, is really only about 10, 12 minutes. D&B Highlands is really the party to the settlement that created all this. Long term, one of the principals of Highlands Group, as well as myself, sit on the Martis Fund that'll be administering the future of this site with our former adversaries, now colleagues, on that board.
So the folks who fought over these developments are now colleagues on the board that will fund community improvements. That's a pretty amazing outcome. But one you want to watch carefully, see how it all works out, and to see who has a place at the table when decisions are being made about what kind of affordable housing to build.
$100 million seems like a lot of money, but I wonder what it will buy over the next 30 years, because the price of undeveloped property around the Martis Valley is bound to shoot up.
It's that balancing act. You can never forget that the financial vitality is linked in some ways to the physical vitality of the place. We're always working at that intersection.
And if we do it right, it'll work.
and we'll have it all.
Stephanie's pretty hopeful about the whole thing.
We'll have a good habitat, we'll have clean water, we'll have good air to breathe.
Nikki's not so sure.
I'd say if most people had an idea in their head of what the town's going to look like in 5 to 10 years, they'd be shocked and they'd probably say, put the brakes on, let's not approve another housing development until we see what impact this brings.
Ultimately, the outcome in the valley is going to be determined by these interests' ability to work together effectively.
For Steve, it's about making sure land use planning is fair for everyone.
And for the next 20 years or longer, they'll be working on implementing this vision. To me, that is a seminal moment in the land use discussion in the Sierra Nevada.
More coffee?
Nope, I'm good. You know, there's going to be a lot of money to spend on good things for the community of Truckee and the Martis Valley area. But there's a lot of development. 600 homes here, 2,000 homes there. It's still taking up a lot of the environment.
All the development that's been approved will blanket one side of the mountain with high-end luxury homes. I guess if people believe that development is inevitable, then maybe the best any community can do is find a way to make it pay for the things they need.
People here made their voices heard during the local land use planning process, and they took themselves seriously as stakeholders in the future of their community.
We invite you to head over to the website savingthesierra.org to find out how citizens are getting involved in shaping land use plans in their communities. And keep your eyes on Truckee to see how those plans work out.
Not only do folks in the Sierra have to deal with residential housing on agricultural lands and recreational development, our natural resources flow out of the Sierra to help build California's cities on the coast.
2/3 of every drop of water used in the state comes from the Sierra.
This is the Levining Creek Los Angeles Aqueduct intake. We're about 327 miles from Los Angeles at this point. Levining Creek comes out of this beautiful canyon to our west here, and the city built a little dam across where the creek was, and then built a diversion structure behind the dam that takes the water and puts it into a conduit, and at that point, it's gravity-fed.
But should a city have the right to drain an entire rural watershed just to get the resources it needs to grow?
Right now, our annual water use here in Los Angeles, potable water, is 670,000 acre-feet. We're getting from mono 16,000. It's water that we absolutely need. Every drop of that water is precious.
Next, on Saving the Sierra.